1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Romans 12:6-8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if ministry, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Service and serving are the words used representing ministry, and we often think of it as a deaconate priestly gift. And, like apostle, prophet, pastor, healing, miracles, and teaching are Holy Spirit gifts meant to be employed for the common good for all, so those who have the gift of ministry, are not less than any other gifts, but are vibrant and necessary for the well-being of the house of the Lord. Ministry. What a broad word we toss around these days. Basically, the word means service, to work, to serve, and is also used in reference to serving God. In Romans 15:16, Paul refers to himself as a minister of Christ Jesus, but the word for minister in that verse has a slightly different connotation other than simply service. What Paul meant was that he was literally, in a liturgical sense, or what was called wearing a reversed collar, he was doing priest's work, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The word minister in Romans 15:16 carries with it the idea of the sacrificing priest. I can't say I've ever been that person that I could claim such a thing. I'm just as guilty as anyone else of misusing the word ministry, largely out of ignorance, but also in my being as honest as possible. I've done it with a faint hope of also gaining some respect for myself, and that's a poor motivation. Surprisingly, the same word used in a priestly fashion that we translate as minister also means one who discharges a public office at his own expense, generally a public servant, a minister. That's challenging. A servant of the state, assuming public office to be administered at his own expense. I'd guess that the at your own expense part wouldn't go over too well with many who are in ministry. The at your own expense part is really a challenge when you know you're doing a viable service endorsed by God, but you've got $10 in your pocket and the rent is due. It's easy to say, just trust God. But when the rent is due, now we're down to where the rubber meets the road. When we tell people we are in ministry, just what are we looking to convey to the other person or people? Many seem so very focused on making sure others know they are in ministry, but making sure others know that about you has a subtle way of spoiling the simplicity of our walk with God. Now, bear in mind that even ministry can be an idol birthed by the spirit of religion. Bob Diffenbaugh of Community Bible Chapel in Richardson, Texas, said, while watching the television coverage of the visit of Pope John Paul II, I was reminded of the Roman Catholic concept of ministry. If I were to try to distinguish the Catholic view of ministry from that of our local church, I would say that Catholicism still practices an Old Testament ministry. Catholicism continues to perpetuate a clerical priesthood that is almost entirely responsible for what is called the ministry. Mr. Diffenbaugh went on to say, "Probably few Catholics or Protestants would disagree with this analysis. But what most Protestant evangelicals fail to realize is that much of the Roman Catholic conception of ministry is perpetuated in Protestantism, with only the labels having changed." It would not be difficult to surmise that so much of church leadership truly operates the same way. It is possible that if we aren't under the thumb of leadership, even the most effective may not be allowed to serve unless they come to the table with degrees, titles, and seminary experience accompanied by strict obedience to the rules of those recognized as leadership. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation, broadcast semi-live from the deck of a rural cafe which overlooks the broad and beautiful Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. Service unto the Lord and those around you is a get-to, not a have-to. And to have a heart and mind to serve is a Holy Spirit gift. Come, go with me as we explore ministry. Ministry. And what do we mean? How do we do it? And the benefits of a sold-out heart to God. Sit back in your big armchair. Relax and breathe, man, breathe. And I'll be right back. Joyce Meyer said she gets tons of mail from people asking her to pray for them that God would reveal what their ministry was. She said, straight out, to quit worrying about it because every morning when you wake up and go out your door, you are in your ministry. If we truly believe God has called us to go out and serve others, then why are we waiting around to find out what we should do? Years ago, I read a story about Mother Teresa. She and another nun wanted to go to an unchurched town in India and start a mission with a small aid station. In order to accomplish that, they had to play by the rules of their denomination, so they put in a request with the local priest, who made all the decisions for everyone in the service of the church. And there, they waited. Yep, they waited 5 years for a reply. But for 5 years they prayed and asked the Lord to move the heart of the priest to grant their petition. Sure enough, by and by, they got their walking papers. They packed one pair of extra clothes they had, picked up their walking sticks, and left for the remote town. When they got there, they had no idea what the Lord wanted them to do, or what their ministry was. So while they waited to hear from God, they sat under the big tree at the center of town and sent word out to the street children that if anyone wanted to know how to read and write, just meet us at the big tree at about noon. A lot of kids showed up, all living on the streets. Children of all types, all homeless, all hungry and unlearned. Every day, the two nuns would pray to God and ask Him what their ministry was. But in the meantime, they were teaching the kids to pray, read, and write, all while they were waiting to hear from God. Over the following many months, while they were waiting to find out what their ministry was, a church had sprung up, salvations occurred, and a small hospital of sorts was developed. I don't reckon they ever did get a word from God exactly concerning what their ministry was. But in the meantime, they served the community with all their heart, and God was brilliant among them, just brilliant. So, what do you mean when you tell people,
"I'm in ministry"?
What do you think the head guy who comes to your church all dressed up in high-dollar clothes and is always asking for money? What do you think his or her idea of being in ministry is? Does that person say things like,
"If you want God to bless you, put some extra in the offering plate"?
How do you think it would go if you asked a very dangerous question, which is,
"What does the ministry do with the money?"
They may very well give you the left foot of fellowship real quick. So brace yourself, and I say that from experience. We who are in ministry as servants of the people are not in that position to get wealthy. We are in that position of servants to comfort, encourage, teach, and strengthen those around us, not to shear the sheep so closely they bleed. To be a servant, we must think like a servant. I heard somewhere that servants make great leaders. I wonder where I got that idea. In Numbers 14, the Lord pardoned Israel after Moses pled their case. But even though God pardoned their rebellion, He said none of the people who had seen His glory and signs in the desert would enter the promised land except Caleb. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which we went, and his descendants shall possess it. Want to live under an open heaven? You don't have to give money to make that happen. That's a lie. Besides, how can you buy an open window in heaven anyway? I don't think God, His callings, or Holy Spirit gifts were for sale that we would open the windows of heaven if you gave enough money. Now, you may think that's absurd, but I'll tell you, there are people in ministry who will tell you that if you give more money, you will get more of the Holy Spirit. And it's simply not true. If you want to live under an open heaven, be a servant. Get low like Jesus, and God will use you. Just watch and see. People are looking for a knight, someone of honor and humility, not a street fighter. Thank you. If you'll live as a servant to others, God will, I repeat, will use you. Philippians 2:4-5. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Or like the Message Bible translates, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. And how did Jesus see himself? As the Son of God, yes, but also as a servant, and he is the greatest leader in the history of everything. He humbled himself all the way to the cross. He did the ultimate balancing act between maintaining his position with the Father as Lord and also stooping to wash the feet of the disciples. He didn't exalt himself. He got low and waited on the Father to raise him up. How often do we want to get into ministry so bad we run ahead of God, creating a platform of our own making? Well, now I can tell you from my own sad experience, it's easy, real easy. We often think to ourselves we've got something to say, that it's very important and others need to hear it. But no one is letting us say it, so we finagle around to get ourselves a position to be on a platform we think we should have.
I deserve it.
The Greek word for dignity means, in all honesty, being just as serious about our motivations as possible. The Hebrew word dignity reflects the idea of being elevated by respect and worthy of honor, an attribute worthy of those who minister, unless we elevate ourselves, and then there's a problem. Titus 2:7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity. We will be far more effective in our servitude of the Lord if we'll step off our self-made dignity, a platform of our own making, and get low. Dude, step off. Real servants don't try to use God for their purposes. They let God use them for his purposes. Again, the word ministry as used in Romans 12 also means let us wait on.
Let us wait on.
It also appears in the New Testament in connection with the service of the church and others. Being in ministry is a gift of God for us to serve others, with the goal of lifting them up, leaving ourselves out of the credits at the end of the movie. And that's not so easy in a world which constantly capitalizes on being seen and recognized, promoting the idea of lifting ourselves up. In this world of 24/7 promoting ourselves day and night, we are very vulnerable to advertising ourselves when we feel very unseen and unheard. I have a friend who had a word from the Lord while at church one time. He was slightly driven by the urgency to give it. When he asked if he could say it, he was told no. Not because he was wrong or ever had been wrong. It was just no. His feelings were hurt, of course. But then the Lord spoke to him, saying, isn't it enough that I have spoken to you? So when I felt the urgency to speak or act, I remind myself that God sees and hears me. Isn't it enough for me to know he has spoken to me? Some limit the idea of ministry to that of being a deacon, but yet I wonder why Paul split ministry out as something separate from prophecy, exhortation, and teaching, and the other gifts of the Spirit. I don't know, but there it is in 1 Corinthians 12:5, where Paul says, different kinds of services. And again, it is considered a gift in Romans 12:7, saying, if ministry, then in our serving. Frederick Godet, a Swiss Protestant theologian who wrote some of the most noteworthy commentaries of the time, calls ministry an activity of a practical nature exerted in action, not in word. I made note of a statement by a friend who said, "Ministry is about our focus on others, not ourselves. This is true humility, not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less." Paul said, "Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand." This is what it means to lose your life, forgetting yourself in service to others. When we stop focusing on our needs, we become aware of the needs around us. Jesus emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. Now here's a good question we should ask ourselves while we're being venerable and as honest as we can possibly be about our motivations. When was the last time you emptied yourself for someone else's benefit? It's tough to be a servant if you're full of yourself. What is it which prevents us from getting low and serving others? To say you have the gift of ministry is very broad. As was previously mentioned, there are many different services which require real Holy Spirit gifting to accomplish. Being of service to others one time may be easy, but to be consistent and repeatable about that calling is another story. For example, in 2 Corinthians 5:18, there is mentioned the ministry of reconciliation. There is the ministry by the prophets in Hosea 12:10, where the Hebrew word therefore ministry means service with an open hand, like a picture of being generous. Acts 6:4 is about being devoted to prayer and ministry of the word. That part about devoted to the ministry of the word speaks to those who are commissioned for the continual proclamation of the gospel and tending to the care of the congregation. It's basically the job description of what we call a deacon, which was originally taken from the Jewish concept of someone who continues in prayer and works to feed, nourish, support, and even govern, sort of like a deputized priest. In Romans 15:8, Jesus was called the deacon of the circumcision. Being a deacon is about serving, not a position above the congregation and below the pastor. Apostles and bishops qualify to be called deacons because they serve and are called to the ministry of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians 16:5 shows us another ministry. Ministry of the saints. They devoted themselves to the service of Christians. That is, by showing hospitality, by providing for their needs, by attending and aiding other believers in their journeys, and so on. According to 2 Corinthians 3, 7-9, even death and condemnation have ministries. In this case, the reference is to the law which was carved in stone by the finger of God. In the next verse, though, The ministry of the Spirit and of righteousness far exceeds the ministry of death and condemnation beyond all imagination, far beyond the vanishing point forever. And that is a really long way. I love Paul's visual in 2 Corinthians 9:10-13. He says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase, the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." For the implementation of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their trustworthiness of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Ministry. Stephen and Philip were appointed to wait tables in the church. They were leaders by being servants. I believe that is a great picture of having the ministry of giving. Some are gifted at making money, then let them give to those who are in need. Some are gifted in administration and staff support, then let them do their calling without pointing themselves out. Some are gifted in the ministry of teaching, which is a technical service. Let them discover the sound doctrinal precepts with all honesty and openness. Some have a ministry gifting of being a visionary. They're very good at conceptualizing and imagining. Let leadership allow those people to tell what they see and take it seriously. Now here's a gift I think needs special notation. Some have a deep caring for the sheep
and are called to be pastors.
Although I must admit, calling someone a pastor nowadays is like a catch-all title. If you ask most pastors what they do, if they're honest, they'll say they don't really know, except that they counsel, clean toilets, speak the gospel, field complaints, help define sound doctrine, organize events when those talented with organizational skills don't step up to the plate, and visit the ill and terminal. Even when they themselves are ill and possibly near the end of their own vision, their passion to serve the body is extraordinary, which is an earmark of a Holy Spirit gift. And of course, let it be said, not everyone who calls themselves pastor actually has a gift for it. Ministry isn't something we go get. It's something God gives. And if He didn't give it, we would simply be performing, and that would be a counterfeit. Paul said that there were many variations of gifts, like the service of discernment, the ministry of clerical needs, the service of prayer. Ah, now there's a good one, the service of prayer. It is a powerful yet subtle ministry we are all invited to participate in. But there are some who have an unquenchable fire in them to pray, like the extraordinary life of Rees Howells, a powerful, gifted intercessor. God has distributed to some the ministry to the infirmed. It's a mercy gift, like some nurses I've met. They aren't just doing medicine. They bring with them the power of the Holy Spirit that makes a difference in everyone's life who they touch. Or like some doctors, they have a gift for healing and medicine, and the power of the gospel just comes in the room with them, and they are extraordinary in their practice. The list goes on, and I wonder if we've limited ourselves to seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to just the big five in Ephesians 4. To continue the list of different ministry-type giftings a little further, how about missions as a ministry? Having a gift and passion for outreach is huge and takes a real team effort to accomplish, not to mention very specialized leadership with an anointing to accomplish it. Even flying out of the country with 15 or more people to a third world nation for 2 weeks involves an amazing amount of planning, which often requires a multifaceted team of people with very diverse gifts. How about the ministry of counseling? I've met some very gifted counselors, some of which actually had little education, but with them was the presence of God, who gave them insight and wisdom, and a real knack of speaking right to the heart of the problem. Now here's a vital ministry. How about the gift of consistently showing up at the right time with the right supplies in order that certain needs would be met? Now that's a real ministry, friends. I believe the Lord's concept of ministry is very different than much of modern Christianity. The Greek word for ministry, most often used in the New Testament, is diakoneo, meaning service while having an eye on the health of God's house through the door of grace, which speaks highly of being a steward, not an owner. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, diakoneo, but to serve, diakoneo, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He also taught that being a servant was an integral part of following him. John 12:26. "If anyone wants to serve, diakoneo, me, he must follow me, and where I am, my servant, diakonos, will be too. If anyone serves, diakoneo, me, the Father will honor him." Want to really live under an open heaven? Do you really want God to bless and honor you? Then forget giving some big shot your money and be a servant. I believe one way Jesus measured greatness was in the terms of service. From what I understand, I could be wrong. The Greeks had a disdain for service to others. Being a servant was to be insignificant, and the Jews believed it had a great dignity. Sadly, and not much different than today, the religious leaders of Israel began to think of ministry in terms of status rather than service. And then came Jesus, who absolutely refused to accept such thinking and put all service or ministry on the same level of importance when he said in Matthew 23:8, "But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers." I'd guess that just added fuel to the fire God had lit under the hyper-religious Pharisees, who stood to lose titles, authority, money, respect, and then to be lowered, how dreadful, lowered to be called merely a brother among other brothers. Yet, that's exactly where Jesus said we have to go if we're going to be in viable, powerful, authoritative ministry, which is a humble calling. To be a servant, we've got to think like a servant. They make great leaders, and it's really difficult to be a servant when you're full of yourself. Again, from God's perspective, ministry is being a steward, not an owner. Ministry. I believe most people in ministry fall into one of two categories. They're either empire builders or kingdom builders. Both are gifted, but the empire builders build for themselves, and the kingdom builders are servants of the Lord who work to prosper the gospel. Kingdom builders don't see others who have the same gifting as competition, but as allies and partners. There's just no place in God's plan for being envious of other fellowships or servants. Kingdom builders classify themselves as being servants after God's heart and see ministry as a get-to, not a have-to. I used to play on the worship team a long time ago before it was called the worship team. And after several years, it became a commonplace to me. It wasn't long before I groaned inwardly that I had to play again. I ceased seeing it as an honor, a get-to. I saw it as an obligation, a have-to. And it wasn't long before my passion and zeal was just gone for playing music at church. Another of my shortcomings in the past has been I tended to judge a book by its cover. But the truth is, you can't judge the spirituality of a ministry by the form it takes, as much as by the results it produces. 1 Peter 4, 10-11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And think about it. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Ministry. Ministry is service. And if we're going to be servants, then it needs saying. Real servants think like stewards, not owners. Pause if you need to in order to let that one sink in. If you're the senior pastor or in leadership of a church that has church running or a nearby unalterable time schedule, got it down to the minute for worship, prayer, and preaching, are you being an owner or a steward? And if you're a steward, just what are you stewarding? What are the sheep being served? We who are in ministry, our first purpose is to bring glory to God by way of our obedience, our confession of Jesus, and our generosity towards others. Our ministry should be an expression of our love of the Lord and thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. This has been Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation, aimed at inspiring all who listen to think, and lean into Jesus Christ, the one and only King of Glory. Support has been by Living in His Name Ministries, His Heart Missions, Area 22 Guitars, your one-stop store for everything music you might need, the Mebane Freedom League, the girls at the Jump Off Rock Gift Shop, and Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was produced by Phil Keggy, Michael Borstlap, Miles Davis, The Yellow Jackets, Kenny Kirkland, Dominique de Piazza, Thelonious Monk, and Trevor Gordon Hall. Of course, all music use is licensed by BMI. It's not right to use the work of dedicated musicians producing extraordinary work without at least trying to give something back to them. Granted, they won't get much, but we can all participate in not stealing their intellectual property. Christian ministry is both at the same time practical and spiritual. Christians should never be accused of being so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. Ministry. Ministry builds up the church, the body of Christ. In the words of Paul, it supplies the needs of the saints and gives meaning and purpose to our lives. Each of us has a unique role to play for which no one else can serve as a substitute. You and your ministry gifting are necessary. Do you hear that? Necessary. There is a call on your life. What will the Lord lead you to put your hand to? Keep in mind while you're waiting to find out what your ministry is, if you'll live as a servant to others, God will use you. Drive carefully, pray for your neighbors. The Lord hears your prayers. It's a fact, so you are never alone. I'll talk to you next time. Amen and amen. Yeah.